Join me as we explore the realms of the witch, weird and wild, through storytelling, folklore, and walking the land. Welcome to Witch Country. Episode 6. Gathered Tales. Fairies, Elves, and Witches of the West. Welcome, friends, to episode 6. I will start with the news before I explain what this new idea of gathered tales is. So my news is that I'm hugely grateful for those of you who have joined me on Patreon, and your support has helped me buy a train ticket to Wales. And I'm off to Wales at the end of this month to a very thrilling place known as Tinkin's Wood. And I'm going on the eve of May Day because this is a special spirit night. I'm very excited. But because that's just on the cusp of the end of this month, I'm bringing some stories to you now in April, and I'll share tales of Wales soon. So this gives me a chance to try something a little different here this month. As part of my research for my books, I come across so many amazing stories, folk tales, fairy tales, and I can't fit them all into my books. So these are some stories that haven't made it into my books yet, but have been waiting patiently, hidden away on bookshelves, waiting to be told. And I'll gather up these gathered tales every few months with a theme. So the theme for the three stories before us is fairies and fae folk. And in fact, two of them are set in Wales, and all three are set in the west side of England. I've also created some gentle sound effects as a kind of immersive story experience. Please do let me know what you think. I hope you enjoy it. And alongside this podcast recording, I've also made a fun ambience video version of the tales that you can find on Patreon. So my wonderful patrons, Sam and Mel, you guys will both get to see the video creation that I made alongside these stories. So please do let me know what you think. I'll leave the links in the show notes below if you would like to join me on Patreon, and any other little notes and references that you may need can be found below. So let's take a journey for our gathered tales. Hello, darling. You're here. Did you have a nice walk through the woods? I know, it's a funny little house, isn't it? Yeah, I suppose it is quite cosy looking. I've got all the candles going and the fire burning in the other room. Oh, what's that? Oh, you saw lights in the trees. Yes, I've seen those too. They look like they're dancing, don't they? Oh, and you heard singing. Wow, that's special. They must like you. Who? Oh, well, darling, never mind that now. I think you'll find out when the time is right. Let's make a cup of tea, shall we? Oh, or your favourite hot drink, yeah. Oh, I've got some freshly baked cookies as well. It's apple and cinnamon, my favourite. I hope you like them too. Should we get settled? Love. So I've got three stories to tell you today. Oh yeah, get your comfy spot. Get settled. Get your cosy blanket. So first is the story of Goblin Coombe in North Somerset. It's a real place. It's not actually that far from here. A coombe is a name for a valley, and Goblin Coombe is a valley of limestone, and lush grasses and heathland grow up around the coombe of dark woodlands below. It's a place of butterflies and magical views around the Mendips. But deep in the coombe in the valley, it's damp and wooded, and it's home to the rare moonwort fern, which grows under the old yew trees, hidden in which you may find a hazel dormouse, who I think is particularly cute. In late summer, you'll find plants like autumn gentian and ladies' tresses. And in the spring, everything's yellow with the golden primrose. And this, as we settle into spring, is a story that may or may not have taken place amongst those primroses. A group of children were picking primroses, wandering through the woodland of Goblin Coombe. But one poor girl wandered off on her own, and she was left small and alone amongst the woodland. When she realised how lost she was, she began to cry and dabbed the corners of her eyes on her pinafore dress. She sat upon a rock and continued to cry. She felt hopeless. But to her great amazement, the rock cracked open and fairies spilled out. She was so amazed to see the fairies, but she knew her manners. She must offer them something. So she gave them her primroses, the golden flowers that she had been picking whilst journeying into lostness. And the fairies were pleased. So they gave her a beautiful shining golden ball to raise her spirits, and then they led the little girl safely home. Now the little girl told this tale to all of the village, of course, such a tale of wonder it was. But upon hearing the story, one conjurer of the village decided that he would like to get his hands upon a gold ball. So he carelessly ripped up some primroses, and off he went to Goblin Coombe and waited upon the stone. But when the rock cracked open, the fairy saw that his heart was not pure and his intentions were not good. And he had very carelessly offered them primroses, not the care the little girl had taken. So, instead of leading him home, they pulled him in. Into the rock he went, and into the fairy realm, which we can only assume he still dwells within, for he was never seen again. The next tale is that of the Brecon Elves and the Wise Housewife. In the hills of the Brecon Beacons lived some elves who could be both merry and mischievous. And at a certain farm, the elves did as much mischief as they could. They led cows astray, they hid shoes, and drove sheep far down into the valley. They broke crockery, stole farming tools, removed the furniture, and hid clothes and locked doors. Now one of the old cowmen said to the farmer's wife, "Take my advice, go and see the witch of the beacon. She's an old hag, and if you pay her, she will tell you how to be rid of the little people." So one day, when it was very cold, the farmer's wife climbed to the very top of the highest beacon, and the beacon witch was travelling home, speeding along upon her broom. As she alighted, she sat down upon a sheep's back, and the animal scurried towards the farmer's wife. Here, witch and sheep listened to the story of the mischievous elves. "I'll rid you of those pesky elves," the witch cackled. "Pack up all your belongings. You must pretend that you are leaving the farm. Go down by the longest path and cross the bridge. Then you can turn back. You will have deceived the elves, and they will think you have gone to live in another part of the country." Well, the witch's advice was carried out. The furniture was heaped on carts, the sheep and cattle were herded together, and the farmer led the way down to the next valley. But all of a sudden they heard little voices all chorusing together as the tiny elves were crowded in every nook and cranny of the furniture. They were huddled together between the horses' ears, they were swinging from the wheels of the carts, they were trailing behind with the dogs and the sheep, and the farmer's wife raised her hands in dismay. "The beacon witch has deceived us. Her advice has failed." So they turned back and returned to the farm. And the elves were more mischievous than ever. "We must try again," said the farmer's wife. So, very loudly, she announced that she would be preparing a feast. And her maid busied themselves in the farm kitchen. They prepared the table. And the farmer's wife said aloud, clearly, so it could be heard, "We must first roast a frog for the feast. And if we boil a handful of daisy petals, they will serve us as vegetables." She looked around the room. A group of elves were seated on the mantelpiece. They stopped swinging their legs when they heard the farmer's wife's words. They had been looking forward to a chance of stealing good food from the table. And then the farmer's wife said, "We shall dish up all the food into thimbles." Here, her and her maid left the room, but hid in a doorway to listen. The elves clustered together. "Did you hear the like? Daisy petals for food, a frog as a feast. We can't put up with this. Surely we shall starve." One elf got up and called, "We will go. We will cross the river and to the rich farms in the valleys beyond." And with that, an army of tiny elves marched past the farmer's wife, and the tramp of tiny footsteps could be heard long into the evening before it died away entirely. They were gone, and the farm was never bothered by elves again. The Fairy of the Dell. 100 years ago, there was a band of fairies and their queen called the Queen of the Dell. They settled to live by a spring in a lush green valley. And after they had blessed the spring with their fairy magic, they built a bower of flowers and branches for the queen, placing a throne underneath. After this, the queen drew a fairy circle surrounding and protecting the spring. And the queen sent her fairies around the whole country of Wales to listen to what the people were saying. They went from house to house, and everywhere they heard great complaints against an old witch. How she had made someone blind and others lame. How she had brought illness upon some homesteads. And how she had made others' livestock fall ill. So the next day, the fairy queen sent a word to all the bewitched peoples to congregate by the sacred spring. When the day came, several ailing people gathered. And every fairy created a ring around them. Each one held a little bunch of fairy flowers, cuckoo's boots, baby's bells, and daisies. And then the queen, who wore a crown of wildflowers and held a wand in her hand, instructed all the fairies to begin marching around the circle and singing. They sang great and healing fairy songs, and they told each patient to bathe in the water of the sacred spring. And as each one emerged, they were cured of all their ills. Now, the old witch was so inspired by this beautiful work of the Queen of the Dell that she repented of her own evil work and went to see the Fairy Queen herself. Now, fairies have a way of seeing the future, so they knew that the witch was coming, and they had built a great fire this time within their fairy circle. The queen smiled and took the witch's hand, and all the fairies joined in circle singing. But this time, along with the sound of the singing of the fairies, the dell was awash with the thundering noise of thunder and lightning and devils and demons that came from every corner of the country, encircling the ring of fairies. But they could not enter the fairy circle, and all the demons crumbled to ashes, and the sky eventually cleared. The queen took the witch to bathe in the waters from the sacred spring, and the witch was herself again. The fairy queen told her, "You must love your neighbour, you must love all mankind. And now we must go, for our magic is needed far and wide. Here is a purse of gold. Go and buy eggs, bacon, cheese, and a flagon of wine, and use these things freely. But give freely to the aged and the poor. As long as you never finish these things yourself, there will always be as much the next morning as you started with. And I shall make a balm for you, and you must use the water from the sacred well. That will be as medicine, and people shall come from far and wide to be cured by you, and you shall be loved by all." And the witch woman did as she was told. She became renowned for her medical skill, and her balms and salves eased pain, and rich people came to her from afar. She always made the wealthy pay, and the poor she treated for free. The witch lived a long and happy life, always hoping that she may see her friend, the Fairy Queen, once more, but comforted that fairy magic was being cast all across the land. Whew. Well, there's some inspiration. I'll take care if I go out gathering primroses, that's for sure. "Oh yes, darling, stay as long as you like. It's dark outside now anyway. I think I can hear the owls hooting. There's no rush. There's no place to be. Why don't we just sit here and watch the fire for a while and think on the magic of those tales?" So that's three intriguing tales featuring fairy folk. The first from Somerset and the second two from Wales. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope that you have a really beautiful April. I am very much looking forward to meeting you again in May. When I'm back, I will have adventured myself to Wales and possibly met a few fairies of my own. Thank you for joining me on the journey today. I hope as we part ways you feel a little enchanted and bewitched, inspired perhaps to walk a new path next time you head out into your own witch country. If you enjoyed this podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing. If you'd like to come and say hello, you can find me on Instagram at thisiswitchcountry. I'd love to hear your ideas, feedback, and suggestions for further adventures into the wilds. Until next time, enjoy your walks in the wilds of the witch country.